From PRI, this is Living on Earth Now.
I'm Bobby Bascom. People today struggle to understand the complex causes and implications of climate change. Back in the 16th century, understanding climate science was even more difficult. Europe was experiencing a little ice age at the time, and when the weather turned weird, people turned to a supernatural explanation: witches. As many as 60,000 people were tried and executed for witchcraft in this time of climatic upheaval. Emily Oster is a professor of economics at the University of Chicago. In 2004, she investigated the possible connection between witchcraft trials and climate change.
So the Little Ice Age is a period in the Renaissance in which the temperature was somewhat colder than it had been. Estimates suggest the temperature was perhaps 2 degrees Fahrenheit lower than in the previous centuries.
So what kind of effect did that have on people, on the environment?
We have some anecdotal evidence about that. So this is a period in which the canals in Holland, for example, were frequently frozen or were sometimes frozen, which I guess otherwise doesn't happen.
I read that New York Harbor completely froze over. They say you could walk from Manhattan to Staten Island.
Yeah, so it's exactly those kind of anecdotal things that people say. The Thames was frozen and this canal stuff. So, you know, there was a few things of that sort.
So how did the Little Ice Age affect the people living in Europe at that time?
Like any variation in temperature of this sort, actually the crops that people grow are pretty sensitive to the temperatures that they expect. And so there were more crop failures. There was, for example, I think there is some evidence this changed the migration patterns of some kind of fish. So maybe they wouldn't go as far north and so would be less available in areas far to the north where people would normally rely on those for a food source. And so I think that one of the concerns, you know, in general we have with changes in temperature is that whatever methods of sustenance people are currently using, there will be some change in the availability of that.
So you're going to hypothesize that the changes in weather that people saw, they would blame it on witchcraft.
Yeah. So I had initially had this idea largely because of a temporal correlation in these events. So I was learning about witchcraft and also about the Little Ice Age, and I sort of put them together. But then in order to try to figure out if this connection was just kind of a random coincidence or, in fact, if there was something there, I went into the data and I collected information from a number of countries, like counts of number of witchcraft trials in different decades in different countries. And I connected that with information on the temperature, different measures of the climate in those countries in those time periods. And so what I can look at is within a country, there were more witchcraft trials in years in which the weather was colder relative to the average in that country. So in years in which there was a particularly bad winter or a particularly cold summer, were there more witchcraft trials? And I find that there are, and that leads me to the conclusion that perhaps some of the variation in the number of witchcraft trials was driven by the variation in weather.
Did you come across any anecdotal evidence of that, or any? Did you come across any stories where people said, you know, the fish aren't coming like they used to, the weather's colder, it's probably because my neighbor's a witch?
Yeah, so there is a fair amount of that. I wouldn't have said that it was so specific in terms of, like, the weather is generally colder. You see in some of the documentation on this of this time that people are citing crop failures or other things which are connected to this type of event as kind of, well, that happened because of this witch event or because this person killed my crops. So you certainly see anecdotal evidence of that sort for sure.
So you wrote this paper in 2004. Do you still think these theories hold water? Do you still think that there's a strong correlation?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see, like, this isn't an example of a time in which new data, perhaps there is data that I haven't looked at, but it is not the case that more witchcraft trials have occurred since then. And so, yeah, I mean, I think I would certainly stand behind the data analysis. I don't see any reason to think that would change.
But some people might think, well, you know, there's a whole lot of other explanations for why people
sure.
might have accused their neighbors of witchcraft.
Yes, and I agree with that. I mean, that's, you know, this is the kind of thing you want to be very careful in an analysis like this. This is not to say that the entire phenomenon of witchcraft trials is due to changes in the weather. I mean, I certainly wouldn't say that. I don't think anybody would say that. What we're doing here is saying this appears to be one contributing factor. perhaps a factor that overlaid on top of, you know, religious issues or more complicated political realities. But this seems to be something that was contributing.
And do you think the same thing could happen today? I mean, not that we're going to go start accusing people of witchcraft, but, you know, the climate is changing and that causes stresses in different communities. Do you think that, you know, it's a possibility of seeing some people or some communities as scapegoats for those issues, those problems?
I mean, we certainly see evidence, for example, in Africa, that these kind of things, so there's a work by an economist at Berkeley, which looks at witch killings and weather patterns in Tanzania in, you know, the recent period, and also sees a connection there. So in that sense, you know, I think that there's sort of some value to this theory in the current period. I think the question of climate change is, of course, much more complicated, and the setting is much different. And I think, you know, we have a lot more ability to react to changes in the climate in ways that might ameliorate these kinds of features. On the other hand, people are pretty similar to how they used to be. And so in that sense, you sort of never know.
Emily Oster is professor of economics at the University of Chicago. I'm Bobby Bascom.
Living on Earth Now is produced by the World Media Foundation for Public Radio International. Be in touch at loe.org.